Om Namo Bhagavate
Om
Vasudevaya.
Namo
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text Number 21. Tanvantarishya Bhagavan Svayameva Kuti Kirti. Nam nam rinam pudaru rujam ruja asuhanti. Yagye cha bhagam amritayo avarun abhavarunda. Ayusha Vedam Anusatya Vitirya Loke Named Danvantari Cha and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Eva, personally himself, Kirti, fame personified, Namna, by the name, Nilinam Purujam, Pururujam,
of the disease living entities,
Ruja, diseases. Ashu, very soon. Hanti, cures. Yagye, in the sacrifice. Cha, also. Bhagam, share. Amrita, nectar. Ayu, duration of life. Ava, from. Avarundhe, obtains. Ayusha, of duration of life. Vedam, knowledge. Anushasti, directs. Avatiriya, incarnating. Loke, in the universe. Translation. The Lord, in his incarnation of Danvantari, very quickly cures the diseases of the ever-diseased living entities simply by his fame personified, and only because of him do the demigods achieve long lives. Thus the personality of Godhead becomes ever-glorified. He also exacted a share from the sacrifices, and it is he only who inaugurated the medical science or the knowledge of medicine in the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything emanates from the ultimate source of the personality of Godhead. It is therefore understood in this verse that medical science or knowledge in medicine was also inaugurated by the personality of Godhead in his incarnation Danvantari, and thus the knowledge is recorded in the Vedas. The Vedas are the source of all knowledge, and thus knowledge in medical science is also there for the perfect cure of the diseases of the living entity. The embodied living entity is diseased by the very construction of his body. The body is the symbol of diseases. The disease may differ from one variety to another, but disease must be there just as there is birth and death for everyone. So by the grace of the personality of Godhead, not only are diseases of the body and mind cured, but also the soul is relieved of the constant repetition of birth and death. The name of the Lord is also called Bhavao Shadhi, or the source of curing the disease of material existence. this verse is discussing the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Dhanvantari. So, Dhanvantari, as described here, is in the first canto, chapter 3, verse 17, Dhanvantari is mentioned along with the other list of Lila avatars, or Kalpa avatars, as the 12th incarnation. And he is mentioned there as the personality of Godhead. Here it describes Bhagavan Svayam Eva, personally himself, the personality of Godhead himself. Technically, he is classified as Prabhava, which means that the Lord's avatars are sometimes generally classified either as Prabhava or Vaibhava. Prabhava means that they are partially potent, and the Vaibhava is fully potent, or superior potency. Sometimes when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, those words are mixed up a little bit. So, does anyone notice that? Sometimes, for the list of Prabhava incarnations, they put Dhanvantari, and then sometimes for that same list, they call them Vaibhava. I'm not sure. I think that's an editing mistake. And in the Sri Bhagavatam Ritikana by Vishwanath Chakrabarti, the core, it mentions that these are Prabhava, or they're partially potent. And also in the sixth canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, in verse 6:8:18, he's also described, he's described as a portion of a portion. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord expands, and then another expansion. From that expansion, it says a portion of a portion, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some of the Prabhava incarnations are eternally manifest, and some are temporarily manifest. So Dhanvantari is an eternally manifest incarnation of the Lord, whereas there are some like Mohini. If you go to Vaikuntha, you won't find the Mohini form of Narayan. She appears. She is the Supreme Lord, but appears she is also Prabhava. She's an incarnation of the Lord, who manifest partial potencies according to the requirement. But there's no need for her form to be eternally manifest. She manifests for the purpose of taking away the nectar from the demons to bewilder their mind. So Dhanvantari is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests his potencies to a partial degree, and he personifies fame. That's also described here. Well, it describes here that simply by his fame personified, cures the diseases of the ever disease living entity. So he personifies the fame principle. Here's another incarnation very known for personifying the fame of the Lord. Ramchandra, yeah, Lord Ramchandra. So Lord Ramchandra and Dhanvantari, you know, they personify this fame principle. They're very, very famous. And of course, as Prabhupada mentions here, that simply by his fame, he can actually cure the diseases of the living entities. So, in Kali Yuga, of course, so these Leela avatars, there's no Leela avatar listed for Kali Yuga, although actually, because a Leela avatar is someone who performs a variety of activities which are, you know, extremely wonderful, but they're doing them very effortlessly. So, such as Lord Vamanadeva, you know, he performed, we discussed him the other day, he performed wonderful activities in relationship with Pali Maharaj, his devotee, and also, you know, taking three steps, you know, two steps to cover the whole universe and one step on Pali's head, but very effortlessly. And even though he appeared in a dwarf incarnation, he was able to two steps cover the whole universe. So they're quite wonderful activities, but there is no difficulty for them. They don't have to struggle or, you know, perform severe austerities really to manifest their potencies. So these are Leela avatars. So in essence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, can be, just as we see Krishna and Balaram are mentioned as Leela avatars, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, one of the Lord's names is Tri Yuga, which means that even when he does appear in Kali Yuga, he's a Channa avatar, or he's in disguise. He hides the fact that he's actually an avatar, and therefore the principal avatar for Kali Yuga is known as the holy name itself. But in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from his holy name. So here it describes that now Dhanvantari, he appeared when the demons and the devotees or the demigods were churning the ocean of milk. And from churning that ocean of milk, many wonderful personalities appeared from that ocean. There's Airavata, the elephant, is that the description here? The Sarabi cow appeared, which was taken by the saintly persons. They used that to derive clarified butter for its milk and to make their sacrifices. The horse named Ulchaisrava was generated. That was taken by Bali Maharaj. An elephant, Airavata, that could go anywhere in any directions, up and down, and along with she elephants. The Kustuba gem, which Lord Vishnu took that gem, placed it on his chest. Parijata flower, the Apsaras, the most beautiful women in the universe. And the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, herself appeared. It then took a place on the Lord's chest. And so there are many great personalities like that who appeared. Also the Varuni, the goddess of drinking. They call her the goddess of drinking, but she actually has the potency to control keep the demons under control. Otherwise, you know, they become disturbed and despondent. So, you know, the goddess of Rooney gives them some impetus to be happy and active. Then the demons and the demigods, they again churning. The incarnation of Dhanvantari appeared. He was carrying a jug of nectar. There's actually a description in the 8th canto, a very beautiful form of Dhanvantari, who had a blackish form, I think it was blackish, but wearing yellow garments. Yellow. And so what happened, of course, is that the demons snatched that jug of nectar from Dhanvantari. It was a nectar of immortality, or gives, you know, the extended life for those in the heavenly planets, the upper planetary systems. And the demons began to fight amongst themselves. What happened was Lord Vishnu solaced the demigods, who therefore did not fight but remained silent. And while the fighting was going on among the demons, the Lord himself appeared as the incarnation of Mohini, the most beautiful woman in the universe. And of course she tricked them and took some of that nectar. So it was some of that nectar that, you know, a few drops that fell down in three very you know, specific places. What are those places?
Haridwar,
Prayag. I've got it here. What's the other one? And every year they have the Mela, Kumbh Mela, you know, Kumbh is like the Jagra, and they say that at that particular astrological time, well, every 12 years, right, there is the principal one, and then there are every 4 years, there's a sort of a partial, and at that particular astrological time, they're saying that that nectar is again flowing, that nectar of immortality. So, Dhanvantari is associated, as it describes here, that he is the source of the medical science. And here it says, because of him do the demigods achieve long lives. Now, in this regard, the demigods, they get to drink that amrita or nectar of immortality. It doesn't give them immortality, but it certainly gives them that, it sustains their long duration of life in the heavenly planets. But for people in general also, their life is extended by the Ayurvedic teachings of Dhanvantari, and here you see that Ayur, so the Ayurveda, and Ayur is translated as duration of life. So that section of the Veda which gives the medical science that extends one's duration of life, that is the Ayurveda. So this is Dhanvantari. He is now. There's a prayer in the 6th canto. This is the Narayana Kavacha Shield. So it's a prayer that you can chant, and it protects you from so many different things. So this is verse 18. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. And may Jagya protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram as Sesha protect me from envious serpents. The Prabhupada gives this purport. To live within this material world, one must face many dangers, as described herein. For example, undesirable food poses a danger to health, and therefore one must give up such food. The Dhanvantari incarnation can protect us in this regard. Since Lord Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities, if he likes, he can save us from adibhautika disturbances from other living entities. Lord Balaram is the Sesha incarnation, and therefore he can save us from angry serpents or envious persons who are always ready to attack. So, now, here it's describing that, if the Supreme Lord likes, he can protect the devotees from all these things. So generally the devotees, they do not pray to Krishna for anything. You know, that's the mood of the devotees. A devotee performs devotional service in pure devotional service. They're not desiring fame, long duration of life, beautiful wife, husband, children, home, liberation. A devotee's only business is to keep their friendship and their devotional relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is their only business. These prayers are there, but a devotee may take shelter of the Lord in a particular way to maintain their physical body for the sake of that may improve their service capacity and in their endeavors to please the Supreme Lord. So there's that book, Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness. You read that one? Yeah. Who's that by? That's him. Is it? Bhakti Vikas. So I've got a quote here. There's some nice quotes here about, preserving health. It gives the mood of Prabhupada in this regard. Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness, section 25, or chapter 25, health. This is a quote from Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 6, verse 5. The highest goal of life can be achieved as long as one's body is stout and strong. We should therefore live in such a way that we keep ourselves always healthy and strong in mind and intelligence, so that we can distinguish the goal of life from a life full of problems. Then so Prabhupada is saying that we should keep our body stout and strong. This is actually helpful, for Krishna consciousness. Maharaj quotes Dhanvantari himself that Brahmacharya is truly a precious gem. It is the most effective medicine. It is nectar that destroys diseases, decay, and death. For attaining peace, luster, memory, knowledge, health, and self-realization, one should observe Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is the highest dharma, the highest knowledge, and the greatest strength. And then Maharaj quotes Prabhupada, a letter from Srila Prabhupada, that he says a brahmachari should not have any complaint of bodily disease. You know, so you know, the devotees, and of course this applies to grihasthas as well, because they all also practice brahmacharya. You know, so it's not just for the men, but it's for the men and the women and the grihasthas. That brahmacharya means that all of them are practicing brahmacharya. The brahmacharya principles of the grihasthas is that if they're, desiring to have children, which they will help to become little devotees, then there is sex life for that purpose. And otherwise, the grihasthas avoid sex life. So it is the same principle. And there's so Maharaj goes on here to say, we'll come back to some of these quotes. Maharaj goes on to say that health has become a special problem for the present generation. However, brought up as we were in junk food, ignorance and self-destructive indulgence, some devotees respond to their health problems by neglect, hardly caring for the condition of their bodies. But this is akin to the Mayavad attitude that I am not this body and I have nothing to do with it. The Vaishnava thinks, this body is not mine, it belongs to Krishna and I have to serve Krishna with it. It must be kept fit enough to serve Krishna. Actually, one time, one lecture Prabhupada gives, he said we should maintain the body with the same diligence and care that we would maintain any of the paraphernalia that belongs to Krishna. So, you know, just like you see, the paraphernalia we take from the deity room, it's always kept very clean. Very careful not to damage it, not to use anything which may, corrode it or decay it or, cause any damage. Take very, great care when, moving them about that we don't drop them and, like this. Any of the paraphernalia of the Lord. And Prabhupada is saying that our body, we should treat that with the same care that we treat any of the paraphernalia of the Lord. It is not ours to be neglectful with. It is actually belongs to Krishna. Therefore, like with Sanatana Goswami, he was very he wanted to commit suicide. Was that because Lord Chaitanya kept embracing him? Yeah, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami had these weeping sores all over his body. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who of course is none different from Dhanvantari Maharaj, Dhanvantari, the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and embrace him, and with weeping sores, of course, the pus and ooze would get all over the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami was mortified, that he was, having to allow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be disturbed in that way, that he was, and so he wanted to kill himself. But anyway, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood Sanatana Goswami's attempt, he said, you cannot kill this body because you've already surrendered it to me. When a devotee surrenders, I surrender to Krishna, and that means everything. You give, it's like Bali Maharaj, you give surrender means You put your foot on my head, it is now yours, just like any other property, this body. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami, and then all of those sores, weeping sores, immediately were cured, you know, within a second. But, so these pastimes are there to show us that, you know, we shouldn't doubt, you know, the potency of Krishna. But still, as described here, a devotee, they keep their body fit and healthy for the service of the Lord, but otherwise they're unattached. Even though they're doing that, they're completely unattached. One may mistake that for attachment to the body, but it is not. It has nothing to do with attachment to the body. You know, as you see with Sanatana Goswami, no attachment. He wanted to give, you know, if this body is causing difficulty to the Lord, I'll get rid of it. There's no attachment. But understanding that it would please the Lord to maintain that body, yes, then I'll keep it. I'll keep it and I'll look after it. But one should not mistake that then Sanatana Goswami, when looking after his material body for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, that his service is attachment to the body. It's not. It's complete. Similarly, you know, Prabhupada explains that actually, in every sphere of life, a devotee, you know, that, for instance, if you talk with, you know, materialistic persons, they're extremely attached to everything, you know, the body, their cars, their houses, their family, their children, you know, their clothes, their shoes, you know, stamps, coins, property, like that, their pets. And extreme. So when they talk about it, you know, you can perceive that attachment. Prabhupada says that because we're devotees and we're associating with so many people, then naturally sometimes we have to talk about those things with people, you know. So you have to discuss, you know, about cars and, you know, the healthier body and the weather and, you know, like you're doing a wedding, right? You know, what's the weather going to be like? And, you know, so many things like that. But Prabhupada says it's official. You know, for a devotee, it's, you know, there's some official business you've got to do. It's part of, you know, interacting in this world and part of going about your service. But a devotee has no attachment to it at all, any of it. You know, all of it, no attachment to all of it. But that doesn't mean... But they don't neglect it. They don't neglect anything. This is the difficult thing to understand. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says to neglect any detail of so-called material life in the name of Krishna consciousness is maya. You know, one time Guru Kishore Das Babaji, you know, someone gave him some coins. Other time they gave him nice chatter. So, you know, he wrapped the coins up in his little, his dhoti or his little, and he tied them up and, you know, he was speaking and, you know, every now and then he would look and, you know, make sure they were nice and secure and like that. And one of the people who had come to take association, he became disturbed by that. And afterwards, you know, he asked that, you know, I came here thinking, you know, the Babaji was great Vaishnava, and I just see that he's just, you know, an attached materialist. Like, you know, he's just, his mind was on this these coins. You know, he was like that. He was some anxiety, and I think he was sent to ask Babaji Maharaj. And I can't remember whether he was sent to ask him. I think he was, but he got this answer. That, you know, Babaji Maharaj was thinking whenever he would receive some charity like that, he would be thinking, you know, oh, you know, so-and-so is such a nice devotee, I'm going to give him this chada, or I'm going to give, you know, I'm going to you know, give him this you know, money. Or sometimes he would use that money and he would buy rasa gula and feed all the dogs in the dam, you know, considering that they were dam buses like this. But he would just immediately, he would be thinking, so he would be looking after that money or that chado or something, like he would look after any of the paraphernalia that even his spiritual master may have given him, like some beads or, you know, what have you, because it was meant for the service of Krishna and his Vaishnavas. And one time, someone came to associate with Kishore Das Babaji. He was imitating, where you sit in a place and you chant the holy names and you're just absorbed, and you know, you take no notice of your surroundings. And while he was chanting in an orchard, the cows came in and ate all the apples off the trees. And then when Guru Kishore Das Babaji found out, he chastised him. You know, in the name of being unattached, you've let the cows eat all the apples that were meant for, you know, being offered to Krishna in the temple. That's nonsense. You know, that's Maya. And he described that sometimes a neophyte devotee disguises their attachment or Maya by a false show of detachment. Actually, so Guru Kishore Das Babaji was saying, not only is this false, but actually it shows how attached you are. You know, you're doing something for, you know, some fame, and that fame is meant for the body. And he said, you know, so a devotee is indifferent. So he uses that word. A devotee is indifferent. You know, this is neither good, neither bad, but they're not neglectful of anything that is, you know, to be used in Krishna service. So these principles of brahmacharya, as it describes here, it is the principal medicine, according to Dhanvantari, that maintains the physical body. You know, so you see people who, you know, they go to the doctors and the hospitals and like that, and they, you know, get so many medicines, and you know, oh, I'm suffering from this, I've got you know, I get these headaches, I, you know, run out of energy, you know, this, I'm being attacked by this disease, and then the next week I'm being attacked by that disease, and then, you know, one after another I just keep getting attacked by these diseases. I don't seem to have any resistance to anything. And if I get sick, it takes me so long to get over it. There's no, in the body, what? Immunity, that's because there's no celibacy. You know, there's no, you can give them all the medicines and, you know, so many different things, but because they're not celibate, that is the main medicine they're not taking. And all the other medicines will prove to be, you know, therefore, you know, as a result of a lifetime of sense gratification, you see the, you know, very, very elderly people, about 50 years old. These days they're about 25 and they look like they're about 50. Seriously, you know, they're about 25 and they look like, you know, death warmed up. Look like a dog's breakfast, as they say. But, you know, because they just, I remember when I was 19, I brought up in a Western life, you know, you sort of, I know what this verse is all about. But when I was 19, I felt like I was about 80, you know. And after becoming a devotee, you know, it was like I got my youth back. But when I was about 19, I remember there was a little kid who was about 2 years old, and they said, push me on the carts, those little carts you push them on. What do they call them? The name? You know, they got the two wheels, whatever. You'll know what I mean. So I just went round the court once or twice. And I was like, smoke and drink and things. I thought to myself, God, I'm 19. And I can't even run around the court, push a little two-year-old kid, and I'm just worn out. Absolutely, finished. And then I watch the kid, he's running around like, It destroys your health. And of course, I had a lot of health problems when I was younger. But my health has actually improved with age because of being a devotee. And, so this, as it says here, this brahmacharya is a truly precious gem. And of course, therefore, for the men, and of course, women, when they get married, they should try to help the men to maintain their good health by also encouraging them, in brahmacharya life. Because sometimes you see the men, especially worse for the men, because when they lose the semen, it's especially worse for them. And so it is more common, you see very elderly people, the lady is about 70, 75, and behind her there's this little old man walking with his hunched over like that, She's sort of, come on, dearie, come on. It's especially worse for the men, and the women should encourage the men, to maintain their strength and vitality of both body and mind, because the mind, these days dementia and so many different problems, when people become elderly, they can't think anymore. Just the other day I was sitting, with a couple, the lady was sitting there, I had this wonderful conversation with her, she was about 70. Her husband was sitting beside her, and I sort of tried to draw him into the conversation, and she said, his mind's a bit gone, and you could see him, just a lifetime of, but that's become very common, that just by the end of life, you look at Prabhupada, just crystal clear, consciousness right throughout, even in the most, just very crystal clear consciousness, just fixed up, And at one time, someone mentioned about Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. They said, Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master, he sits so straight like that. He said, yes, that is for him. We cannot imitate. He was a Naistika Brahmacharya like that, So, as it describes here, it's the most effective medicine. It is nectar that destroys diseases, decay, and death. For attaining peace, luster, so Prabhupada was always, glorifying his devotees, because others, when other people see devotees, they see that they're bright face, that's what they call them, because they have that luster. Memory, if you want to have good memory, because in the Bhagavad Gita it describes that, when a person is, one of the things for good intelligence is also described in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that intelligence has certain components to it. One of the necessary components for intelligence is memory. Because you get good instruction. You get good instruction, and it is that good instruction is fixed in your memory. And when you need to that good instruction, it's there within your mind. Otherwise, if the memory becomes very, very weak, and that memory of that very good instruction that is coming through scripture, and Krishna and, the association of devotees, if that memory fails you, your intelligence can, fail to some degree. But the other thing with memory, of course, is, not just according to the physical body, but memory, as Krishna says, that memory is coming from me also on the transcendental platform. And therefore, you know, brahmacharya is also plays a role there, in the sense that devotees, Krishna says that for those who are constantly devoted to me with love and devotion, for them I give the intelligence how to come back to me, how to progress in Krishna consciousness. And if devotees follow the regular principles, you know, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, you know, no meat eating, then Krishna is more inclined to, you know, give them the good intelligence to understand. Because, you know, we see that the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Arjuna, because you're a devotee, my friend, you can understand. He didn't say because you're a great pundit, you know, and great scholar of the Vedas and great, you know, logician and Sanskrit, you know, like that. Because you're my devotee, you can understand. This Bhagavad Gita is understood by your devotional merits. And therefore, devotees who, you know, follow the regulative principles and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, serve, have a nice service attitude to Krishna, avoid the offences, to them, Krishna gives the intelligence how to understand, you know, these scriptures, and he gives the intelligence that at the crucial moment, you know, when Maya attacks, that you can remember. Because it's surprising how, you know, if when Maya attacks and somehow you've been a bit of a rascal and Krishna doesn't prompt you within the heart, you may forget just, you know, some crucial information like that. So, you know, intelligence and therefore here, according to Dhanvantari, he says that for attaining peace, luster, memory, knowledge, health and self-realization, one should observe brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is the highest dharma, the highest knowledge and the greatest strength. So, you know, if one understands the very first principles of the Bhagavad Gita is that I'm not this body. This is the very first aspects of transcendental knowledge. I'm not this body. Now, one who realizes that, as describes in the second chapter, that one who knows the absolute truth, they do not engage themselves in sense gratification, knowing well the difference between, you know, works for, you know, serving the senses and works for devotion. They can perceive that difference. So, you know, this is Sanatana Goswami said. He said, you know, people say I am a pundit. You know, people say that I am this big scholar, but, you know, I do not even know who I am. I'm identifying with my body. You know, and of course, this is if you see Srila Prabhupada's lectures and his books, that, you know, he would give verses on very elevated sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam. He would discuss those parts in his, you know, in the verses. But he would, it wouldn't matter. Sometimes he'd have a room full of sannyasis, you know, some of his room conversations and talks, and you would think, oh, he's going to launch into some, you know, really confidential information, just, you know, for the, you know, the leaders of the society and the sannyasis, and, you know, he'd preach, you know, you're not this body, like that. He'd just knock it into their heads, because, you know, that is, as soon as we get into the bodily concept of life, which is the foundation of all our knowledge, you know, the foundation of all ignorance, if we're in that bodily concept of life, you know, all other knowledge sort of goes out the window. You know, what is the use of studying, you know, so many cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and, you know, so many shastras and being a Sanskrit scholar, and you have so many, you know, you can, you know, recite 50,000 million slokas and what have you, and you still think you're this body, which is the very first principle of knowledge. So, and of course, we know that even the demigods, you know, who are very, very elevated persons, you know, that material energy is so powerful that it doesn't matter how much knowledgeable you are in one sense or how pious you are, the material energy is so captivating to put you in the bodily concept of life. And the only thing that will protect you is your following the taking shelter of Krishna. And taking shelter of Krishna means you chant Hare Krishna, no this is sex, no intoxication, no gambling, you know, no eating meat. That saves you from getting into the bodily concept of life. And as soon as you step out of the Krishna's shelter, Krishna's instruction, it doesn't matter what your qualifications are, Maya will catch like that. So here, you know, he is describing this brahmacharya, you know, it is the highest dharma, you know, it leads to ultimate, you know, the highest religious principles, the highest realizations, self-realization, God-realization, and the greatest strength. So, you know, this is the teachings of Dhanvantari and, you know, the very essence of, you know, good health. Therefore, you know, for Prabhupada, he didn't, you know, as we started this talk, he wanted the devotees to maintain their body and mind in good health. And, you know, he stressed, this is not Maya, this is, you know, Krishna's paraphernalia, you look after it. At the same time, he didn't encourage his devotees unnecessarily taking so many tablets and pills and, you know, running back and forth. He understood that if you actually practice the regulative principles, you will more or less, you know, have the best, you know, propensity to maintain good health. And, you know, so not just brahmacharya, but also what you eat. So therefore, in the sixth canto, we read that verse where we're praying to Lord Dhanvantari to protect us, and it says there that it says, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. So, you know, that undesirable eatables, and then in the translation, in the word for word, Prabhupada says, patu, may he protect me, apatyat, from things injurious to health such as meat and intoxicants. So, you know, literally the very bedrock of good health is in following the regular principles of Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, other medicines we take will be effective. It's not that we shouldn't take other medicines and take, but if you do that, other things that you're taking for your health will be very effective. And not following the regular principles, you can take all, you know, all sorts, a whole bag full of, you know, medicines and treatments and what have you. It will not have effect very much like that. So, you know, that is the foundation of it. So, but devotees, you know, here you can pray to Dhanvantari for good health. A devotee may do that not because of attachment to the body, but because of attachment to the service of Krishna. That good health means they can serve Krishna to their heart's content and please Krishna, and Krishna wants that. You know, he wants it. So, but you see with the gopis, you know, the devotees, their real consciousness is fixed upon just their only prayer is anything that increases their opportunity to maintain that friendship and increase that friendship and love with Krishna. There's a nice verse here from the gopis, you know, referring to Dhanvantari. I can find that here somewhere. In the 10th canto, chapter 31, so this is dealing with the gopis and the Rasa Lila, they say to Krishna, this is verse 14, O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and makes people forget any other attachment. So Dhanvantari is holding a pot of nectar. And when the gopis see Krishna, they see that pot of nectar is his lips. That's, you know, that's where the nectar is. And so Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakura, he gives this commentary on this verse between the dialogue of the gopis and Krishna. He says, the gopis say, O Krishna, you exactly resemble Dhanvantari, the best of physicians. So please give us some medicine, for we are suffering from the disease of romantic desire for you. Don't hesitate to give us the medicinal nectar of your lips freely, without our paying a substantial price. Since you are a great hero in giving charity, you should give it without any payment, even to the most wretched persons. Consider that we are losing our life, and that now you can restore us to life by giving us that nectar. After all, you have already given it to your flute, which is simply a hollow bamboo stick. Krishna says, but the diet of people in this world is the bad one of attachment to wealth, followers, family, and so forth. The particular medicine you have requested should not be given to those who have such a bad diet. The gopis say, but this medicine makes one forget all other attachments. So wonderful is this herbal drug that it counteracts bad dietary habits. Please give that nectar to us, O hero, since you are most charitable. So similarly, you know, actually, as mentioned, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is non different from the sound of Krishna's flute. And that, you know, that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attracts us to the nectar of service to Krishna and makes us forget all other attachments, you know, bad habits, bad diet, like that. So it attracts us to serve Krishna and serve the holy name, you know, in purity, following the regular principles, and makes us, that attachment makes us lose all other. And gradually, that mood of being attached to serving the holy name of the Lord, which is non-different from Krishna's flute, ultimately that leads to the point where a devotee will one day be, you know, embracing Krishna, perhaps kissing his lips and going back to Vrindavan. So we'll just leave it there if anyone has any comments or questions. To drink what?
Milk.
Nowadays, when the dairy industry is so cruel, they turn it in the cup for 5 days. They just keep up and they produce a cup only to produce the milk.
Yeah.
So now the question is really a boring.
A lot of the way they deal with milk and the things that end up in milk. That's why a lot of children are born with allergies to milk products. It's not the milk, it's, you know, the contaminated state of milk in this day and age. So therefore they should try to fulfill that instruction of Srila Prabhupada by producing good quality milk and drink it. And that means they should try to give some money to our farm. We have some nice milking cows. And then go and enjoy that milk. Go to the Sunday feast. You go to the farm. I mean, usually you go to the farm. They have these wonderful feasts with, you know, curd and, you know, fresh yolk and things. I mean, very nice, very healthy. So it's not that difficult to fix. Yeah. Any other questions? Krishna's mentioned as what? Abhava Oshadi, yes, yeah, that's a very nice point actually. That you know, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the very nature of this body is, you know, what does he say? It will have disease. You know, you can't. Disease must be there. He says the body is the symbol of diseases. You know, the diseases may differ from one variety to another, but disease must be there, just as there is birth and death for everyone. So, you know, even in personalities like Srila Prabhupada, who is completely, you know, spiritually situated, you know, ultimately, you know, various diseases and what have you, you know, were sort of the external reasons anyway of, you know, where the body just shuts down, and, you know, it's no longer, you know, it becomes a very difficult place to, you know, occupy for the soul. And, of course, Krishna kindly, you know, took Srila Prabhupada back to the spiritual world, so he didn't have to go, undergo, you know, great unnecessary difficulties in a body that, you know, because it's the nature of these bodies, you know. You know, the ultimate solution, as you're saying, bhavoshadhi, is to go back to the spiritual world, to, you know, attain to bhavoshadhi is the name of the Lord, which means that he's the source of curing the disease of material existence. He stops birth and death, birth, death, old age and disease. So, you know, that is the real cure. But otherwise, even in the purport, you know, it describes that if Dhanvantara likes, or if the Lord likes, he can, you know, sometimes remove disease or, you know, reduce or what have you like that. But, you know, sometimes the Lord is quite eager to take a devotee back to the spiritual world. And so he may just allow the, you know, it's like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, and, you know, sometimes, it was Bhakti, yeah. You know, sometimes the Lord just allows the onset of disease and he just takes that person back to Godhead, you know. So, but, you know, a devotee's position, therefore, is that from our position, we maintain the body to the best we possibly can as we maintain any of our services. It is one of our services. It's a very important service. Because as soon as the body, you know, becomes incapacitated, you try to do any of your other services. So it's a very, very important service. We maintain it to the best of our ability, not because we're attached to the body, because the body belongs to Krishna and it's for, meant for his service, and we keep it in that premium condition. But if and if Krishna desires that, you know, okay. He, for one reason or another, he allows different diseases or impediments within it, then we accept that. That is Krishna's desire. We never doubt the potency of Krishna. You know, Krishna may remove a disease, he may not, but we never doubt the potency of Krishna. Reminds me a little bit of a story, you know, is that here, you know, we quoted this verse. I'll tell you a story. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantara relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. May Rishabh, Lord Rishabh, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. And may Jagya protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram or Sesha protect me from envious people. So I wrote a letter to one my spiritual master one day, explaining the nature that he gave me a little Sankarshan Shalagram, which is like, you know, it's Balaram or Nantasasian. And the very first time I wore him, I'd only worn him for about 5 minutes, you know, so I was upstairs here, and Indrajumna Swami gave me the Shalagram. He said, because he was in a soap box, like a cardboard box, never been used, you know, so it was like the soap taken out, and it was sort of perfume, you know, nice soap. And he put the Sankarshan in there and gave it. He said, he'll cure you of your material body. He said, Anyway, I went and sat. So here's the saying that, you know, Sankarsan protects you from serpents or envious persons. I came and I sat down here in the courtyard. Now, some of you may have read the newspaper or heard about a big Greek fellow. Greg, do you know, the big, tall? You probably all know him. He had a run-in with the man next door, you know, that elderly man, and bashed him and what have you, you know, over something. But he used to come here a lot. He's a very tall person, slightly baldish. Yeah. Anyway, last week, I think it was on Friday, he killed his son. It was a very brutal thing. But he was here, and I just received the Sankarsan Chalakam Shila, and I was sitting on the bench over here, and I think it was Premadana's wife was sitting on the bench over there looking after her little baby. She was trying to feed her. And her baby, I don't know if you remember, but her baby used to cry a lot, and the mother used to get really frustrated. Anyway, she gave her a little smack. Wasn't a big thing. But he came over to her and started threatening to bash her up on the spot and throw her out the gate along, you know, if she touched her child again. So it was quite, you know, the child was like screaming because he's about 6'7" or something. He's very tall. 6'2", is he? Yeah. To me, it's 6'7". About 12 foot when you stand in front of him. But he was standing over, you know, like this, you know. She's there with her baby, and he's, you know, I will bash you, I will throw you out like that. The baby was screaming, she was terrified. The you know, Premadana, he went to India, right? And his eye, you know, her eyes, you know, the mother was crying. And I got up from the bench and I walked over and I said, "You can't do that. You can't do it, that to anyone in this temple, let alone, you know, a lady feeding a baby." I said, "You just, you know, back off, or I'll have you thrown out like that." Oh, he got furious. He said, "Oh," you know, he sort of started, you know, and he stormed. I was near the tree here, and he stormed up towards the. Fountain, but just like, you know, when people pace, they're about to attack you, they sometimes pace, and then he turned around and he just sort of started coming at me. And anyway, I thought, oh my God, you know, I've been wearing the Sankarsan Chalakam for about 5 minutes, and I felt like, God, I'm going to commit an offense, you know, I'm going to be rolling around the ground in a minute, and, you know, I've got the Chalakam here. It was like, you know, what have I done, you know? My spiritual mother's be angry at me, you know? And he got to about 2 feet before me, and for some reason he just stopped dead in his tracks, turned around and walked away. You know, I could never work it out. You know? I could never work it out. But I attributed it to Sankarsan. I've always attributed, because actually the various things that have happened with Sankarsan, and he's always, you know, been protected. But, you know, don't doubt the potency of Krishna. Don't ever doubt the potency of Krishna. That was my point. And I actually wrote a letter to my Guru Dave, and I told him several sort of things, and I told him how Sankarsan has always protected me, you know, from very envious and sometimes violent person. So, you know, here, but sometimes, you know, whether the Lord removes one's illness or allows it to stay, we don't doubt the potency of the Lord. That's, we understand that somehow or another this is in His plan and it's for my benefit. Okay. Any other comments? That's right, yeah, because I'm such a rascal, I deserve a good beating every now and then. Gives me a line. All right then. Hare Krishna.